When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Flores
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Dun, dun, da, da, da. All right, yes, one of our
ladies and gentlemen, ahead, boys and girls, I'm starting the show, Drew.
It always seems like it's almost like a circus, Bob.
I want it to be, you know, energetic.
Yeah.
Our guest is Anderson.
Hey,
look
what's
at
up?
Him there.
Oh, we're going? This is it?
This is it. We don't really have a big intro.
We're into it. It's Anderson Cowan. He was working with us on Loveline for years.
Yeah. How many years? What year did you start?
We almost hit 17 years with
Jesus.
Me.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It was Pennywise's second appearance. Was my first night training.
Was Fletcher drinking?
Oh, yeah.
It was Poopoo City night.
It was pretty
Poopoo
intense
City.
Night.
It was one with the SWAT team had to show up.
That was in Pasadena, right?
No. It was in Culver City at the Westwood One Studios. And he claimed to have a live grenade on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And locked himself room with us.
Might have.
I was pretty excited about my new job. I'm like, this is pretty fun. Every night's going
right
to be awesome.
Your alley.
But then like 3 nights later was my first night running solo. And we had Moby on. And that was June 9th, 1999. That was a much different show.
Talking veganism.
Yeah.
Talking political
he
stuff.
He showed up late because he got lost looking for his vegan restaurant on the way.
Well, and then...
I'm being molested by...
Rex, our Australian Shepherd, is attacking Anderson.
By the Pinsky's dog.
He's licking his face.
Hi, Rex.
And my wife, the producer of this podcast, insists that Rex be a part of the show because he gets so many social media hits.
Yeah,
so
thanks, I'm a dog person.
It's good. Look at him. He wraps his arm. Look how he hugs him.
Yeah, he's
hugging that picture.
That's perfect.
You can see that on
my wife's going to feel like I might be cheating, I think, if she sees these pictures. This is borderline.
It is borderline cheating, yeah. He's going south pretty soon. So
Lovelines just suddenly and crazily went off the air after 33 years. Yeah. I think I was on it in 1987. So what year? How long ago is that?
Let's do the math real quick. 29
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
29 years
yeah.
ago. Okay, so how long? When did it start, Drew? Because I'm just going to interview guys about Lovelines.
83. Well, do you want to do no drug and alcohol stuff?
The history of Lovelines.
No drug and alcohol stuff.
We'll get to that.
I got
later.
High just for the drug and alcohol stuff. For
huh?
the show.
The aloe guys.
I got high on the way up here so that I could be prepared.
Are you stoned?
The aloe guys are here. Don't you want to give them
aloe
something?
Aloe House Recovery Center is filming and sponsoring our show. It's a place I started in Malibu. Anderson.
Did you say alligator?
Aloe House Treatment Center.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I started. It's basically what Drew and I did at Las Encinas,
right.
But like with job training and still doing the right thing,
yeah.
Which a lot of Malibu is not doing the right thing. Have you had any friends go to Malibu treatment centers?
Yeah, I mean, I've known a lot of people who have gone through a couple of the different Malibu treatment centers out there. I like that you're out there now, too, because I had heard things about the other one over the years from various people as well.
The
so.
Emphasis on the cotton sheets thread number.
Count? Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Not as important
I've never seen that on a rehab center.
It's a certain clientele they're reaching out to, Bob.
It's about the staff and the philosophy of care only.
Right.
That's it.
Well, I spent time over at Las Encinas, not as a client.
There
but
was no thread
people.
Count. It was,
I don't remember you visited.
I visited Drew over there. Actually, I'll talk to you about some stuff off air. I don't think it's for air, but I talked to you. I visited you over there. And then I had a close family member that was actually in the program over there on my wife's side. And I went over there a few times to visit
when
her.
When we were working there?
Yeah.
What was
yeah,
the
yeah.
thread count on our sheets?
It was like 400, I think. It wasn't acceptable.
We have essentially had canvas sheets.
Yeah.
We were going for like, this is what's waiting you in prison if you don't.
Yeah.
If you don't
they have the scared straight theme going on over there.
So that's what we do. Aloe's, you know, grassroots community-based thing. But
a lot more social model.
But I have a surprise for you, but I don't know if the dog is going to steal it from me or not.
Is it edible?
Yes.
Is it edible?
Yes.
It's edible. Okay.
I'm shocked. I'm very confused now. Okay, so I'm a giant Pittsburgh Penguin fan, as Bob knows.
And you have the tattoo of the logo on your...
Did you figure it had something to do with that?
I figured it had something to do with the Penguins or a picture, because the first thing that Bob does is show me a picture of him with the actual Stanley Cup. And last time you were on Loveline, actually, I spent the entire 2 hours of the show, not running the show, but taking pictures of the ring that you had so kindly let me borrow, which was the championship
ring. Look at this. This is for you from the owner of the Penguins. It's your tattoo.
Ron Burkle, owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins, gave me a penguin cookie. I'm never eating this. Are you kidding me?
It's your tattoo.
It's so beautiful.
He's going to shellac it and then frame
it. This is like more valuable than the last slice of cake for my wedding cake. This is going right next to
show
it.
Hold it up so you can take a picture of it.
It's the Penguins logo. And I told Ron that you have, a friend of mine has the Penguins logo tattooed. And he goes, he probably likes them better than I do.
I probably do. I probably do. Careful, Rex. Careful, Rex.
Yeah, put it back in the...
That's crazy. When did you
get
the tattoo?
So much,
when did you get the tattoo?
Hey, Rex. Rex is almost eating my cookie. This is terrifying.
This has got very upset.
This is boring for all non-hockey fans, but they had just signed Zygmunt Pálffy. That's how long ago it was. I remember. I want to say 2003.
And you're not from Pittsburgh?
My dad's from Pittsburgh. Hey, it's my dad's birthday. He's no longer with us, but today's my dad's birthday. So actually, I don't know when this airs. Does this air like somewhere around the New Year? Like Happy New Year? I know you guys like to bank them.
No. This will be a couple weeks out.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So, but, end of July. But so you're not from Pittsburgh. You're just a Pittsburgh Penguin.
Yeah, I get passionate about things, Bob. Drew knows that. Like, I get into something, that's it. I'm in.
So you, what does that mean?
Let's translate the word passion. It's also psychotic.
I'm just a very passionate person.
So usually somebody...
Drew, you're a very passionate person, I'm a very passionate person, is that the same bells go off for you as I'm a very sexual person?
No, because I
heard for years on Loveline?
No. I know you'd be intense.
Yeah.
Intensely. Once you get your something in your craw, it ain't coming out.
It's good. It works for certain things.
So we're going for the history of Lovelines tonight.
Wait, hold on. A little more on Anderson. Talk about your podcast.
Oh, real quick?
Yeah.
Plugging up front. I love that. Okay, I got a couple shows that are doing well. They're healthy. And actually, it's keeping me afloat here in between jobs, as it were. 17 years of Loveline, find out that I'm having a kid, and suddenly I'm jobless, which is always great. The universe works.
His wife just got an MSW.
Yeah, so she's doing all right, even though we have to start paying back those loans right around now, too. Right as Loveline goes away, and she's 6 months pregnant. Beautiful.
This is life, my friends. Yeah. This is America.
But the show that I put a lot of work into, that I do weekly, I would like to give a little plug for, and that's called Cinematics. And my friend, Greg Srzovosti, who is a certified... film critic, he has been for 25 years now. We talk about movies that are coming out that Friday. We screen them beforehand and we critique them, and we let you know what's worth your time.
Secret
and
Life of Pets.
Secret Life of Pets is on our radar. I don't think I'll hit it for that show because it's not quite of the ilk.
Well, I'm going Friday, no matter fucking what.
I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty excited. About
these guys are, you know, cinematic, auteurs, and they.
Well, what movies in America could they be?
But like we cover like Finding Dory, you know,
Lobster.
Okay. The Lobster. We cover The Lobster. Yeah. Did you see it?
My son saw it. He said, you have got to go see it.
I love the first act, and then it goes off in the woods and never really comes back. But, you know, we let you know what's worth your time and energy.
But not just that, but you give a detailed analysis.
Yeah, we have conversation.
Not a review, an analysis, a cinematic
analysis.
So you're
at the Sundance Theater on Crescent Heights and Lemley in Pasadena. Those are the only places to play those movies.
A lot of Lemley. But like I said, we did Covering Dory, and my favorite movie, one of my favorite movies of the year, was Green Room, which is a movie you should see, Bob.
Green Room?
What's it about? It's
about
punk rock, these punk rockers who... get caught behind enemy lines at a neo-Nazi punk rock club in Oregon. Fucking good. Anton Yelchin stars in it.
Oh my God. Just died.
Very sad, I know. Very sad. He's so good.
Oh, I got to see that.
And we also covered a movie.
Anton was on Love, I remember.
Was he?
Absolutely.
Not when I was there.
Yes.
A lot of people came in and I didn't know who they were, and then I found out who they were later.
Right,
I'm like, did I meet that guy?
He was not even beginning his career yet. He was just somebody that people were looking towards.
The Big Combo? Is that the name of the movie? We talk about classic movies too, especially Greg. He goes back. He loves The Big Combo.
Yeah.
And we were covering The Big Combo, and then after the show was over, he actually did research on this certain character in The Big Combo that he loved named Rita, and he found out that it's your mom.
Yes.
That's insane. He told me that off air. We didn't even cover that on the show.
How weird is that?
What?
He's going, The Big Combo. I think my mom was in there.
Yeah, she was.
I didn't know what the character was named.
She was in 10 movies, and one of them was called The Big Combo, which we covered on the show.
Is it a jazz movie?
No, she was in film noirs.
Film noir, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was so, my partner, my co-host, was so taken aback by her performance. He researched her, and he was shocked. He immediately called me. He's like, oh, my God. That, you know that woman I was going on and on about, Rita, how great she was? That was Dr. Drew's mom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that's lots of crazy.
Lots of intrigue and mystery. See what you can find out about her.
Yeah,
he may teach you more than I know.
Yeah,
you know Ida Lupino.
No,
because Ida Lupino was a director of film noir towards the end, right?
I don't know. I don't know Ida Lupino.
That particular actress. She will tell you. She'll go on your series. You can call her and she'll go on your
podcast. I would love to set Greg up with an interview.
And she has a whole story about that particular filming because the mob shut them down. They were in New Orleans and there's a whole backstory.
I love that. Love that. A lot of times the stories behind some of these movies are way better than the actual movies themselves.
Yeah, yeah. So please, she loves that. She's doing amazing.
I would love to set up Greg. I would love to set him up with an interview.
Oh my God, make her live.
So we can't be politically incorrect, but you're kind of like an Art F movie buff.
No, he's a.
I'm gearing up to making my first feature.
Did you notice we can't say that? And now it's the N word and the F word.
Look, he's
so
an
you're an Art F.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It rhymes with hag. Yeah. I didn't know where he was going.
But, I mean, these are movies I saw when I was going to school.
Yeah. Well, my first movie, which I'm gearing up to if you, I don't want to talk too much about, I would love to plug it. If you know anything about me and you know how much I love movies and how much I give to them, I am gearing up to actually try and raise some money for my first feature. I'm really close.
Look at his arm.
I got film tattooed on my
arm.
Yeah,
I see that.
And I'm
I always thought it was a snake.
That's the running joke with all my friends. They're a cool snake, bro.
Why is it broken?
Because one's 16 millimeter, one's 35 millimeter. See, okay. Anyways, if you want to be involved or see what it takes to raise money for a little independent feature, I'm going to be doing that. Probably the goal is September 1st is when we're going to launch the campaign. But AndersonCowan.com, I have information over there.
Thing or what?
Probably one of those. And if you send me an email, I'll keep you in the loop.
Okay, and then you have with Mike.
Yeah, and then I do After Disaster and the Film Vault. Those shows are doing fine.
Film Vault with Brian from Corolla.
Baldy Brian.
And Carano, Mike Carano, who you know, we've talked to you here several times.
Carano and I just did a movie, a documentary where he infiltrated ICP, the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, we heard about that. We had pictures of
them. And we went down
it.
To San
Saw
Diego.
Pictures of them dressed as Insane
We put on the
clown?
Makeup and everything.
It was on Instagram.
Yeah.
We did a 40-minute documentary.
He said something like, at the open, he was saying, like, there was something else going on in San Diego, something rough.
Trump rally,
yeah. ICP
Memorial
concert.
Day.
This is going to turn out great. What can go wrong?
And alcohol, mixed with alcohol.
Well, and the next picture is him being sprayed by Faygo.
It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable.
Do we love those guys or what?
We love them. Their fans freak me the fuck out, though.
Yeah, I was going to go to the big festival. I'm afraid to go.
Yeah, the Gathering?
The Gathering.
Oh, you should be afraid. I heard a story.
Yeah, I heard about the guy. It's at, where is it? What
state? It's in Ohio.
Yeah, some weird
state. Don't do that, Drew.
We should go.
No. Okay, here's a little story. Yeah. I heard the second hand about Bobcat Goldthwait covering The Gathering. He was good. He did what you were going to do, which was like be the
MC?
I guess it wouldn't be a keynote speaker, but be the MC, and he had a bodyguard, and Bobcat Goldthwait was like, I don't need a bodyguard, I'm fine.
Oh, no, I go with the bodyguard.
And the bodyguard was knocked out cold by just some random fan 5 minutes later, and Bobcat
like
was on his own.
It's like a whole audience of G.G. Allen's, right? The audience is worse than the crazy artist.
I'm so afraid of them, I try not to talk about them. Because
oh
I'm
going to
say something disparaging. You know what I mean?
But the guys, the Violent J.
They're
and
the best. Shaggy. Too dope.
They're very interesting dudes.
And
really
they're fun,
dudes.
Fun guys. I've heard interviews
They got
with
some
them.
Stuff.
Very you know. Talented with 2 liter bottles of Faygo. The things that they did on stage with the Faygo was really interesting.
Do you think they'll come on the show?
If they're in town, they would definitely come on to the show.
I'm not we'd have to go to them. You know what I'm saying?
Too dope. Last time they were on Loveline, just like probably 2 months ago, Shaggy flew. I think they both flew in just for Loveline.
I know.
From Detroit.
Yeah.
They love Drew. They love all of it.
That's why I wanted to go out and reciprocate and go to the Gathering, but you'd have to like, we would have to hire like a little mini army to go
Drew,
to.
I could see the Juggalos seeing you out there and they could see it. They would think of it as like a rite of passage if they overtook you.
Isn't there a documentary about
it? Yeah, it's called American Juggalo. No, 20 minutes on YouTube. It's so good.
Look, it'd be the same thing as Fletcher vomiting on me. If somebody's going to go.
You would be penetrated, Drew, in one way or another.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Be careful, buddy.
All right.
Come on now.
He could be.
All right, so let's your other podcast, talk about the After Desk real quick.
Yeah. So we just it's an idea show. We talk a lot of ideas. Mike Carano, Tyler White, former Loveline screener, and I, we're all different generations. So we're all different age, so we all have different ideas. And it's an energetic show, and it's very fun. And people have been with
a
us
a lot
on
of big fans
show
of it. And when
for
they,
six
when
years,
when they so do it live, a ton of people show up.
And we sold out the Improv
over, from all
That's
over.
Great. It's good times.
All right, listen. I'll take a little break. Be right back. This life is sponsored by Bergamot Mega Plus. This is a very interesting nutritional supplement that helps reduce the risk of heart disease. It is a product that is derived naturally from the key extracts of the bergamot citrus fruit, just right there in the name, Bergamot Mega. The bergamot citrus fruit is endemic in Calabria region of Italy, and it is extremely rich in something called polyphenols. This is something that can affect cholesterol metabolism, polyphenols. The Italian government was so interested in this, they actually funded the development of bergamot. And the research I have read carefully, and it looks good. I've got to tell you, if you are someone that has issue with taking a statin, should be on a statin, can't tolerate a statin, this is a natural statin, what we call an HMG-CoA reductase inhibitor. It has many of the properties of a statin that lower triglyceride, raise HDL, lower LDL. It also has an effect on metabolic syndrome. It may improve insulin resistance as well. So in a nutshell, for you, Bergamot Mega Plus can address conditions faced by millions of Americans worldwide. As I said, that is the metabolic syndrome, which is characterized by increased abdominal fat, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and insulin resistance. This is a combination known as the metabolic syndrome. And, you know, very often, in addition to diet, physicians are recommending a number of different medications. If you haven't got to that point yet, please talk to your doctor about the possibility of trying Bergamot Mega Plus. Only do it with the supervision of your doctor, of course, but it is available over the counter. And as usual, I want you always to consult with your physicians before you take anything. I want you to know, though, cardiologists and physicians worldwide have been recommending Bergamot Mega Plus. I actually have been recommending it. Its effectiveness has been the subject of many studies, and it looks good. To learn more, visit bergamet.com. That is BERGAMET.com. Or you can go to thislifepodcast.com or drdrew.com and click on the Bergamot banner on our website. All right, now we're back, and Bob, now you want to do your interviewing.
Now I'm interested in Anderson's life, because he just goes through this traumatic thing where a thing he's been doing for 17 years is just gone overnight in a week.
Yeah.
And look at what he invented. We're doing this, we're doing that. That resiliency, that thing I try to teach my clients, like, yeah, bad shit happens. You fucking buck up.
I should be freaking out. I don't know why I'm not.
It's a couple things.
You're an adult.
Loveline enabled him not to go on and do things he needed
Complacency.
To do. Yeah, he was. And now him being dropped makes him do these things that he's quite capable of doing. He just wasn't doing, and now he's doing them.
You know what you're going through is similar to what happened to us at the hospital. I thought I was going to work there till I died.
Right.
The people, we had some bad things go on, and I was out in the street. I'm actually happy, you know, because I started Aloe, and I...
Well, we say bad things go on. It's nothing to do with us.
Yeah, but there's politics. Politics is what happens.
Yes. A lot, so, L.A. Times was not kind. I lived it all. I was right there with Drew watching it all happen.
But you, the same feeling you probably had, I had for a month or a month and a half afterwards, like, fuck, this is so unfair. Fuck this.
I never had that thought. I never had that thought.
And then I just said, well, I got to figure this out. Yeah. And I figured out a bunch of stuff that's been a lot more
talent
rewarding
rises.
And fun.
I remember talking to Bob remember when we did your daytime show, Drew, like years ago, Dr. Drew Live, which was an ironic name because you were rarely live. Because a lot of the time we had to play playback because you're out of town so much at the time. We're talking about the daytime radio show.
It was a live radio show, though.
Yeah, but it was about two times a week I'd have to play playback because you'd be in some other part of the country.
Really?
Right?
I know that.
It was funny.
That.
I remember talking to affiliates. They're like, why are you guys calling it live when you're always doing these best stuffs? Mm-hmm. Right. But I was talking, we used to have Bob on all the time. Yeah. And I remember talking
Tuesdays.
To Bob. It was right during the recession, the crash in 2008.
Yes, it was. That's right.
And I remember Bob, and I'll never forget it. You're like, everyone's going to freak out and they're all losing their money. They don't know how to live. I got, you know, a couple thousand dollars. I live out in Joshua Tree. I can be fine for 10 years. I can ride this out.
That's
people
true.
Don't know how to live. They
my
all
mortgage,
live above their means.
I had a mortgage that was $475 a month, Drew. Like, I'm cool.
Like that's freedom.
Where'd you go off the rail?
Having kids, wanting a family.
Oh, congratulations on Elvis, by the
fun.
Way.
Yeah. And there's and Sydney's coming in August.
Oh, that's the name of my dog. And Because of my favorite player in hockey, Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, there you go.
And we're going to Sydney, so it's perfect.
We're going to Sydney, yeah.
That's
well,
why,
little,
right?
My little daughter will be born in August, and it's after Sydney Sid Barrett, Sidney Vicious, Sidney your dog.
Nice.
And,
nice.
And Sidney Crosby.
Where we're going.
All
we're
boys. A girl named after all boys.
I love it.
There you go. But we gotta figure this out, because I think that it got dropped so fast, and I know it's hurt you, Drew, and nobody's really talked about it. This was an institution. I always think of it as an L.A. thing. Love Lines was an L.A. thing. I used to drive by when I was, mid-20s to Pasadena, and you'd be in there doing Love Lines.
In the old
place.
Sunday nights, right?
Yeah. Sunday nights. Yeah. And Rodney was on after. Before. Yeah. So you go watch Rodney Bingenheimer do his show and talk to him like, hey, what's happening? He's a peculiar man. Oh, yeah.
Did you see the Mayor of the Sunset Strip?
I saw it.
People ought to see that. They want to know.
But he's very kind and very
sweet guy.
Yeah. Seems, but you could go there as a 22-year-old. You could go there
and be
a part of it. Right?
No, listen, I remember Susanna Hoffs knocking on the back door.
Beautiful.
Would you mind giving Rodney my DVD? I really nobody knew who she was. We have this band. We have a girl band. Would you mind? I remember this.
So I loved her. She was one of my favorites growing up when I was a kid.
And so that's where it started. And then it rose to this unbelievable height where it's live on MTV, videotape,
it was Corolla and MTV that really put it in the zeitgeist, that was
important here in LA. It wasn't the Rodney Love Lines thing was an institution for my generation.
And
we learned about sex, and we learned about being an adult, and we learned about being responsible from that conversation. I think it kind of got a little too much anal sex talk.
There was a decade where that was kind of the thing.
Where what?
When I started, anal sex was like the thing to talk about.
Yeah. That's when I called it penis line.
It was anal line,
The history of it was so important, and to just have it just disappear and nobody talks about it.
Yeah, I have not seen Drew. We've talked a couple times on the phone, but I've not seen him since it just suddenly went away. So have you woken up in the middle of the night?
Look at Drew's eyes right now. He's having some feelings about it.
No, I'm having feelings, but they're not all bad.
They're good. I think
because,
it's good.
Because one of the things, when you say it just went away, that's the way radio is.
Yeah.
Radio just,
we've experienced that.
Yeah, radio just ends. I mean, you can
after
be
after 30 years?
Listen, you can be 30 years of an institution of playing certain kind of music and overnight be ranchero music the next day.
Yeah, and disco is over and they're blowing up all the records in the middle of Yankee Stadium.
Nobody says anything about anything. It just, boom, it just happens. That's the way radio is. So we followed in the long tradition of radio. But we did have I thought the fact that we even had a last show was sort of out of tradition. And I thought the last show was interesting. Kathy Griffin showed up. Andy Dick showed up.
Yeah.
But the fact that Kathy doesn't do, she doesn't do that anymore. I thought that was kind of, Adam kept going, why are you making a big deal out of this? I said, she sells out stadiums now. She doesn't have to do this. She
does well for herself.
Yeah.
It was sad that Mike wasn't there, though.
Mike Catherwood.
Mike Carano was there.
Mike Catherwood.
Yeah, we had a weird thing with the program director where the program director didn't like the way, you know this whole story, right?
Yeah.
The way Mike had
radio.
Yeah, there's more
so
radio
many
stuff.
Egos in radio.
He didn't
get away with egos in radio because I think radio is smaller time. A lot of time egos can't get to that level like in movies or TV because there's so much more money involved. They're going to do whatever makes sense
they're
with the money.
Just different.
But with radio, you have more controls if your ego tells you to do something because.
Well, I love Kevin Weatherly, but he said
I didn't
say
the name.
He's our program director, and he didn't like the way Mike
exited.
He didn't feel that he gave the administration enough time and did notify them, and he announced it on the air before telling anybody, even though his manager had called the music director and told him because they couldn't get a hold of the program director. The music director didn't tell him there was anything more to do, but still there was sort of hurt feelings, I think, more than anything. So he refused to let Mike come back and do the last show.
Yeah, that's so Mike could have just rolled in, though. It's not like Weatherly was at the gate.
Well,
he would have never even known.
Weatherly didn't show up either, so yeah.
In a perfect world, we would have had Stryker there. We would have had Mike Catherwood.
Well, Stryker still works there, right? I saw him at the Christmas when I went with you guys.
Stryker years were unique and great in their own little way.
What does Stryker do? Does he have a regular
show?
He
has a regular shift.
Oh, okay.
And, but I think we did the best with what we had to work with. We didn't have a whole lot of notice, and it was nice. It was a nice little send-off.
Well, but to be fair, we'll go ahead and interview us, Bob.
Okay, so some of the highlights everybody knows. The ones I know, Fletcher was going to blow up the studio, right?
Real quick, before you move on, I'm sorry. So you're talking about how it's an institution in L.A., and let me just tell you this real quick, all right? So the show...
Explain
like,
to people what that means, too, because people not from L.A. may
because
not
Because everyone in L.A. listened
it.
To
well,
that
it was,
show.
It was on...
about a 30-year age window where, like, if you were born in between such and such and such and such, you knew Loveline. It was a rite of passage.
And if it was a Sunday night show for 10 years in the 80s and early 90s, and then it went to five nights a week... Only in Los Angeles.
Only place
only
that was
Los
talking
Angeles.
About sex and young adult
and
issues.
As I've
and
said,
thing,
I, what motivated,
talking about drugs.
What motivated me initially was HIV and AIDS, which wasn't even called
right.
that.
GRIDS.
GRIDS. And that no one was talking to young people about the consequence of their sexual behavior. And I was like, dude, people understand there's really something serious coming here. And I was dealing with it every day in the hospitals. And I just started talking about it. No one was talking about it. I was 24 years old.
So I rolled in. It was about 3 weeks after Loveline was over. I had a big beard, so I kind of looked scraggly because I had my playoff beard going for the Penguins, right? Yeah. And I roll into just some random bar, and I order a beer, and a woman comes over. She goes, starts talking to me, and she asks how it's going, what I do. I said, I just lost my job. And I just lost my job. She said, what was it? And I said, it's in radio. That's how I'd always leave it. And she goes, don't tell me you're part of the Loveline crew. Oh, I was so hurt when that show went away.
And
she's like, I grew up in L.A. And it's just like it's like I lost a friend.
I heard that
a few times.
But to be I did too.
Yeah.
But none of those people were active listeners.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah, the problem with Loveline was always like, that show's still on? Yeah. We'd hear that all the time.
Yes. And with Mike, we had made, for the first time...
New listeners.
Real younger inroads listeners. With young Hispanic listeners. Really had a very deep, growing audience there. And it was wonderful to finally have gotten get
have
in touch
a new
with them.
Version. Yeah.
Well, it's Los Angeles. We're in Los Angeles. I mean, if you don't have the Hispanic audience, you don't have Los Angeles. And that really... I missed that. I missed that we... That I felt really... But when Mike left, Mike Catherwood left all of a sudden, and there was by the way, Anderson, I didn't know really. I knew he was unhappy,
right?
I really didn't.
Well,
know.
We could see that he was unhappy. Yeah. He'd come in and he would just bitch and moan all night and just be angry. He became a different person overnight.
Well, he's raising a child. He decided he wanted to spend time with his daughter,
which
was acceptable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And when he left, I'd been complaining for a long.
I mean, Drew had triplets. He didn't do that, so I don't know if it's really acceptable.
I've been complaining for a long time.
Yeah,
long time. 2 years I've been complaining that something had to be done. I was going to leave.
Right. The model was not there anymore, and the writing was on the wall. And I think there was a chance to turn it around if we had the right support group behind us. I don't think we had that.
It would have been nice for Drew to receive a paycheck in the last 2 years.
I think it should live on as a podcast somewhere, but it's owned by so many different entities that that's not possible.
Yeah, what happened to all the podcasts? Did they just take them away?
We had a very loyal following. We had like a million a month.
Oh my gosh.
Downloads, and it all just went away because everyone owns a piece of Loveline, from my understanding, from the people I've talked to.
What happened to Classic Loveline?
All in the same boat because it's got the Loveline name. There was talk of... I don't know how much I should be saying, but there's talk of somebody actually going through the old shows, pulling every mention of Loveline out of it, and just putting it back on somewhere.
As the Adam and Drew show or something?
Yeah. But you know what, the editing behind that?
The man right there behind the board.
No, I think more like Giovanni.
Gio and I have talked about it, and I own hundreds of pounds of Loveline archives. I don't own them. I'm keeping them safe.
Good.
I don't know where else to put them, you know?
Oh, my God.
Hundreds and hundreds
of pounds. So let's go through some of the historical things. Mm. One is, I started becoming kind of a regular on Lovelines when I got sober in 87.
Mm.
That's when you and I, that thing that's in the movie about me, right?
Yes.
I was sober then.
Like Bob's movie.
And Louie was your guy, right? That went on to MTV.
Louis Largent.
And he would call me if a guest canceled because I lived on Barham.
He was the booker?
He was the producer. He was sort of music guy at the station. He had various different jobs.
So you got to understand why it was I was on that show near Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah.
I lived at Barham in the freeway.
Oh,
so I could
right
come
there.
In 2 minutes if somebody canceled. So then all of a sudden I started relapsing again, Anderson.
Mm-hmm. As addicts do. Especially addicts of your stature.
Drew got more and more it got testy sometimes. Then a guy was having his wife on the show. I don't know if you remember. A guy wanted his wife to have sex with 50 men.
Oh, my God.
Remember the guy?
Yes.
And I wanted to beat him up.
Yes.
Not take part?
I was a little intoxicated.
Yeah. I can see that.
I was just drinking.
You want to defend her honor, right?
It was his wife.
I remember that. I remember your... I have no vivid
memories. I wanted to
beat
him up. I don't know.
But I remember your agitation was not... That was not unique to the level of agitation that you had towards... You were pugilistic a lot of the time.
Yes. So that got me banned from the building. I couldn't do it anymore.
You were good on stage, though. Like, you didn't really go off and get... I've seen you a number of times on stage back when I was a kid, yeah, and you were...
I could hold it together.
Thelonious.
Well, but in the Bob and the Monster, we have a footage of him on Loveline from 86 or something.
Yeah.
And he starts helping somebody. And I'm like, dude, if you know, I said, you'd probably make a therapist if you could get your shit together.
Do you think that was the one thing? That
made neither of us remembered it.
Really? Oh, that's so depressing.
How they found it is just stunning. But there's just the fact that the glimmer of what he became was there, but and I recognized it.
Yeah, and he recognized it. But it was so fun, and it was such like something I listened to when I was in college, and then now I get to be on it. It was so fun.
Yeah.
And then it exploded after that. I was in the wilderness while it exploded. Yeah. I remember seeing you guys on television. What was that like, being on television every
day? That was fun.
Every day you were on?
Oh, those were taped.
Oh, really?
We would do 6 shows a day. A day.
6 we didn't know hours, any better. The they first were hour shows?
1 hour shows. And people always go, who are your writers? We go, us. We're the writers. Adam and I. And there were no writing. It was just all straight to tape.
So, Anderson, you're much younger, so you must have seen the TV show.
Yeah, I was familiar with the show. And what was funny is I'm the oldest of 4, and all of my siblings watched and or listened to Loveline except for me. I was the only one who didn't. Because you got siblings. If you're the oldest and one of your younger siblings kind of discovers something, you can't get into it, right? So that was theirs until I started working on the show. And the first time I ever listened to Loveline all the way through, of course, I was familiar with it. It'd be on. I didn't like before I started working on Loveline. I didn't like it a lot of the time because most of the time when it was on, I was coming back from a venue in the backseat of a friend's car, hammered. Or lots of fucking drugs. And Drew would be on there talking about
sobriety,
the devastation.
Sobriety.
Yeah. And it made me feel awful. And I'd be like, put on some music.
Yeah, turn
please,
that off.
Turn
please.
That shit off.
Preachy guy.
And a lot of time I'd be on speed and I'd start to like, you know, going, he's not right because of this, and that, right? And I'd be like arguing to Drew. It was a one-sided argument.
But then you started doing the sports show in the same building.
Yeah, then I started doing Pharrell on the bench back in 1996. And that's when I kind of first got introduced to Drew and Adam. And it was really cool. It was right down the hall. I was bragging to my little brothers and sisters.
And they were so happy.
Yeah, they were pretty excited about it. They didn't care that I was working on Pharrell on the bench, but they were pretty excited.
If anybody, Pharrell's that guy that talks like this.
Yeah, I was obsessed with Pharrell. I got obsessed with Pharrell for a minute, and I actually ended up meeting him at one of his live gigs, and we hit it off, and he just said, come on down to the studio. That's how radio works.
That's how Anderson's lives work.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Anderson's this life.
Yeah. That's it.
This kind Anderson
of began
life.
That way. And then he trained me. It was genius. He trained me to talk about abuse, but he trained me to do everyone's job on his team, and I learned everyone's job, worked for free, and then
he fired them
all off. Of them knew that I was ready to take their spot. And I'm literally over their shoulders watching what they do. And sure enough, somebody finally just couldn't take anymore, and they took off, and I hopped in.
So, more questions. What are you
curious
about?
What's the most touching moments that you... Let's just talk about the Anderson years.
Really quick.
The love lines, the Anderson years. What was the most touching?
The drug addict stuff. You were never an addict. You were a bad abuser.
I toil with everything.
I think you're just a bad abuser.
I think I'm capable... You know, I don't know. There's a gray area.
It's too easy for you to stay sober. It's too easy.
Recently, I was thinking maybe I'm in trouble. I'm slipping here. And then I decided not to drink for a while, and I don't have any problems.
The regular addicts can't do that.
Yeah, maybe you have like a moderate genetic potential and didn't have the right environmental hit to really trigger it or something. But anyway, so go ahead.
So
I mean, I drink like 5 nights a week, a lot. Drink myself to sleep.
Because what?
Maybe have a new conversation later.
Let's jump to love lines.
Here's late when you're ready. When you're ready.
Jesus Christ. He's doing the same thing to you that he did to me.
I got questions for
crack.
Drew.
Do you mind that?
Oh, smoking crack.
Then he starts swinging.
I smoked crack in New York. I only smoked crack once, and it was glorious.
It was
one of my favorite. It was fucking fantastic. Yeah. I followed this guy into like one of those gay video arcades to smoke it. It was so great.
Times Square?
No, like on 7th Avenue.
Oh, down the West Village. Yeah,
and then I was staying with my friends that they lived at the Plaza. And I remember walking back to the Plaza at 5 a.m. and I never felt like such a loser. Like with the crack crash, trying to go into the front doors of the Plaza. It was such
when you're so low, you don't even care if the cops know. You just keep walking.
God, I felt like a loser. But I got questions for Drew from before my time that I've never actually... Like, do you remember when Gibby Haynes was on?
I do.
And didn't, like, he walk off?
No, Gibby and Flea.
Flea and Gibby, right?
And, you know...
Two of my best friends. What happened?
Gibby, Butthole Surfers, and Flea from Chili Peppers. They were so effed up and so wild. I just couldn't even deal. I couldn't, like, it was just
probably on acid.
They were like, I remember Gibby was like practically, he had his legs up on the wall and was like, acid, like he was acid. Practically acid. Upside down. He was lying on the mic, screaming in the microphone. And Flea was just laughing at everything. And it was just,
that's acid. It was true. That's acid.
It could have been.
Acid. Acid makes you feel like everything's a bouncy house. Like the entire, it was all the environment.
Impossible to do a radio show. And I was
they were young. You know what I mean? So.
Yes, there was that, Anderson. Was
yeah. So now, you know who was more fucked up than that was Humpty Hump.
Oh, yeah, that was Shock alcohol. G. That was alcohol, though.
Ah, he was on E, too. He really? Was on Molly.
I felt bad.
E, ecstasy. What do they call it now? It was Molly. Ecstasy, then Molly. X, they then E, Molly. Now Molly. E. What, Molly. They haven't moved on to a new name?
Yeah.
Kiss Molly.
It'll be something else, but it, whatever the marketing.
Shock G was fucked up.
Yeah, he was a mess.
Yeah.
So I want to get to the part where, here's my take on Love Lines. Mm. It was a public service.
Yes, intended to be.
It became entertainment.
Well, that was how it delivered the public service.
Yeah.
But it became way more entertaining than in the 80s.
Okay.
It became entertaining. And then as the explosion of indie rock happened, everybody went there.
Yeah.
To every time because you had a record
K-Rock.
Out. And, yeah, K-Rock in the center. The you thing, could really talk about something. Then the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years I've been on, it makes me sad. The questions made me sad. Mm. The people's, do you know what I mean?
A lot more
it
trauma.
Like the trauma.
A lot more trauma.
Is worse.
And Drew would pull it out, too.
Really?
Drew would find it in them. They would usually call because there was a nugget of trauma. And then Drew would, they would call about one thing. And then by the time they got off the phone, they were talking about something much more horrific.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though? And when Psycho Mike would try to do his thing, it just was so
jarring.
Juxtaposition. Unlike when it was you and Adam, like you were talking about.
And by the way,
serious
Adam and
issues,
I,
but
Adam and I are still doing a podcast, so you can get the Adam and Dr. Drew show.
You
get Adam
do you understand what I'm saying? The flavor of the show changed.
But it will be interesting. You haven't listened to it, I guess. We do calls now on Adam and Dr. Drew show, and it'd be interesting to see if you can ferret out what you're talking about. I don't know because I'm in it. But you may
Anderson knows because we would look at each other when I'd be on there. It's like so sad. What's going on in America with these young people is so sad.
It was a tough line, and you know, Mike pulled it off some nights, and other nights he didn't. Corolla was really good about putting it because Corolla puts his heart in the right place when the time calls for, and he puts the caller in their place when it. He was just a natural at it, and nothing against anyone that followed.
Or
Corolla.
Is America getting sadder and weirder and more traumatized?
I think it was Corolla and Drew were able to handle the calls better than anyone that came after. That's what I think.
And keeping it entertaining without getting too deep into the negativity.
But, I mean, if your theory
jarring
about
out.
The 70s being the ground zero of fucked up child abuse, then those kids are how old now? They're like 40, right? So should it be getting worse with the 20-year-olds?
Well, there was another round.
When was that? In the 90s?
In the 90s. Where it got, then it came to light. Then it came to light. And now it's sort of getting better. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff in the 90s, was people attacking. I got attacked on so many different things.
Right.
One of the attacks early on was, we're just finally talking about this. This has always been around. This has never been as, it never changes. It's always around. It's a tiny percentage, and we're just talking about it more now. And I was like, no.
Incest and child abuse.
Child sexual abuse and physical abuse. It is out of control epidemic. And now we know it's been an epidemic. There's an epidemic of this. And,
so like the 50s, that didn't happen because still in my brain, Drew, even all those years working with you on Loveline and hearing 20 calls a night post Corolla days, it was 5 calls a night when it was Corolla.
Five calls, that's it?
That's all we get through. Calls. Yeah,
because he would be talking about his neighbors or North Hollywood. But
there's grandma.
I still see the 50s as like as just as evil as anything. You know, 60s, 70s.
No, I think the sexual revolution changed America.
The free love shit. Yeah.
It became, hey, man, whatever you're into. If you're into kids, all right, whatever. You know, they're little people too, whatever. They're late life. They asked for it. They want it.
Closed
doors.
That's
the kind of bullshit that went on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's went on a lot. And then these guys were not doing it on just one. They were doing it on many. And no one knew. No one knew to look out for it. No one knew. It just got unleashed all of a sudden.
Well, the right place, right time, right? What do you think you would have been doing? This is such a layup question, but like if you didn't find Loveline, or Loveline didn't find you, as it were, it was kind of like you guys just
practicing medicine.
You think you'd just be like another doctor?
Probably.
Just another doctor.
Well, I would have done more of the psych stuff, Bob, and I would have gotten to something interesting.
You would have not have met Bob.
No, I mean, well, it's true. I guess I wouldn't have. I might.
No, I would have been in his rehab as a client.
Yeah, if he was doing. If he, yeah, he would. You
would have
been
bumped into each other either
once,
way,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, I might have seen him later in his work.
Yeah,
and recognized it. It wouldn't have been so jarring to me realizing that somebody who I thought was dead was not just well, but whoa, so doing so well.
Yeah, he tells that story a lot, Bob. I'm sure you've heard it over and over again.
Well, we have it on film. Yeah. It is pretty crazy. Because I'm thinking, like, I cut my hair and I got these round glasses. I mean, he must know it's me. Because I was, what's it called, non-gratia. I couldn't go to K-Rock. I wasn't allowed.
Right. Like, he was like one of those guys. When you go into K-Rock, because we worked over there for years, like, there's first thing you see when you walk in the lobby is a bunch of printed out pictures of people's faces that aren't allowed in there anymore.
Me and the poor
man.
You would
have been up there back in the day. Bob with his crazy, crazy hair and his glasses. Oh, I love
and,
it.
The sad part about Poor Man is he would be welcome had he not sued everybody and then made it put everyone in a position where they couldn't talk to him, speak about him. Impossible.
It's crazy.
The suits were, I mean, so awful and hurt so many people and were so time consuming and so.
Is Jed and
they
still
went,
on?
No. And they went over on? And over and over again. So we were like clamped down. Cannot speak the name, cannot talk to him, cannot get near. It's too dangerous. Too dangerous.
It was crazy. You know, so many people also thought they invented love lines. I've spoken to four who deeply believe they
started love
lines. Well,
I know of one person
lines.
Who thinks they did, and you just mentioned his name.
Yeah, there's a couple other DJs that claim to,
there's
too.
The very Lewis, first were the Lewis, Swedish Eagle, right?
Eagle. That's what I was going
to
say.
Swedish Eagle and Scott Mason were the first two
well,
to
Larry
ever sit
Woodside
down.
Freddie Snakeskin says he invented it.
Yeah, Larry Woodside had some involvement early on.
I'm the one who actually came up with it.
You weren't even born yet, yeah. But you came up with it.
I was born
yet. You know what it was? It was an evolution. It's something that evolved.
You know what?
Yeah.
I just saw a documentary. It comes out, actually. I think it just came out, depending on when this drops. It's called Nuts. It's a great documentary.
Okay, take a break. You're going to tell us about Nuts when we get back.
It's the first love line.
I want to welcome Aloe Treatment Centers out in Malibu as a new sponsor. I know we can trust it because I started it and I work there.
I can vouch for that.
But the fact is, it's the way we used to do things.
You and I?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, basic Minnesota model, really strong boundaries with clients, individualized treatment plans.
Absence-based.
Yeah,
social
based.
Model.
Yeah,
great
yeah, yeah.
Team.
It's a great team. Been there a long time. Some of the people have been there since the beginning. But here's the other thing is millennials need to learn how to get their driver's license and get a job. And we're starting a coffee house where the kids are going to work. You know, that type of stuff. So it's like the best of the 20th century and a new 21st century model.
Which is social employment rehab.
Growing up.
Vocational rehab.
Personal responsibility.
In the world, being in the world.
Yeah.
And recovery.
Yeah. Long term.
Well done. And we're back. Tell us about this Nuts documentary.
All right, Nuts. You're probably familiar with a doctor named J.R. Brinkley.
No.
John Romulus Brinkley.
No, it sounds kind of familiar now.
He's a doctor who came up with a way to cure weak sexuality, I think what he called it, where he took goats who were always banging in his backyard. He'd always see them out of his office window banging like rabbits, and he sliced little parts of their testicles off, put them inside men's, what do you call it, D'Artos tunic, inside their ball sack, and they would miraculously be able to have children after that. And this man did that for
a number
of years.
Where was this?
Isn't this part of what Charlie Sheen's doctor is doing? Something about goats and goats that don't get AIDS. The same kind of thing.
Don't keep abreast to Charlie Sheen's doctor's activities. But he also he was kind of run out of town by other doctors and the medical board, as you'd imagine, Drew. He went down to Mexico, erected this giant transmitter so that he could preach his message and his advertisements, essentially, from Mexico back over the border to the rest of the country.
And that's 91X?
No, 91X used the same model as J.R. Brinkley. And the first things that he started talking about, I saw this a couple weeks ago. I want to say it's the 30s. Yeah, it's in the middle of the Depression. And he's talking about sexuality. And most Americans are tuning in and they're riveted by this. But, you know, the powers that be were like just they were taken aback at how filthy the radio air was had become.
Is there,
and
is
he
there
was
tapes of the show?
He was doing Love Line.
Can you hear it?
In this documentary, they definitely have clips.
He was answering questions and stuff.
He was answering questions, sex questions, and he was
before
talking
Kinsey?
About.
Before Kinsey?
Before Kinsey.
Wow.
And I was thinking, this is people the first time anyone did love one.
Kinsey? They were having sex before
Shocking.
Kinsey?
Shocking. It was boring. It was only missionary. Yeah.
Do you watch the Masters of Sex? Do you watch
it? I do not.
Do you?
Drew lives it, man.
No, I don't. Because it's, I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you what I do watch is Unreal. You seen that show yet?
No.
No.
Unreal.
No. Don't have time for new shows.
Okay, no. Just the first thing. Anderson, yeah.
What about Bloodline? I've been hearing good things.
I just watched three episodes last night. I can't. It's too slow. Yeah. I can't get to it.
Orange is the New Black is my favorite TV show. Because you know what? It's not trying to be movies. It's not trying to be cinematic. It's just good storytelling. Great characters.
Have you finished the season?
Yeah, it was a little weaker than seasons past. But it's what TV should be.
No,
you know?
I thought it was strong. I thought the
too much scat for me. Too much scatological humor this
but
season.
But I thought the racial explorations were really good. Really good.
I love that show.
Yeah.
So
Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black. So you don't mind television. You're not a
I love
cinema
elitist. No, you got me.
Television.
You got me like all worked up in your head. Bob is like some kind of
pretentious
fuck.
You're at the Egyptian seeing the Fassbender marathon film.
I'm the first to say that I hate those movies if they're not good. Yeah. Like the Neon Demon right now is a bunch of pretentious people will tell you it's great.
Have you
not
heard
great.
Of that? Have you heard that?
No, what is it?
I wanted to go to the movies on Thursday night. It's kind of date night around our house, but there's a baby sticking out of the front, so it's not really going that well.
So weird,
it has to be
it?
A good movie. And we looked and looked and looked and scoured. The only movie we wanted to see was the documentary called Witness. Have you heard of this?
No.
Remember the woman who was beaten and raped in New York City and 38 people witnessed it and called and nobody did anything?
Yes.
It was
some
called,
light viewing.
I wanted to see that documentary, but it was in Encino, so we didn't go.
But as it pertains to film,
Townsgate 5
and television, listen, film
he knows
television.
All the Lemleys. He knows all the Lemleys across Southern California.
Playhouse is out here.
We should be sponsored by Lemley Theaters.
As it pertains to film, radio, and television, my daughter said something interesting yesterday. She said, you know, in Orange is the New Black, it's important viewing. The way people should be thinking about race and race relations or the important conversations they should be having about it. And she said if television were able to change people in the culture, this would do it. And I thought, well, it does.
It does kind
Entertainment always has.
Yeah, but I think it used to more so
we did
than
with
it does
Loveline.
Now.
That was the idea. That was the idea.
Loveline galvanized
teen
people.
Mom. Same idea. Changing.
Everything's so
can
splintered.
Can I say one thing
there's
about,
no broadcast.
About media?
You're right. You're right. But if you can get enough, sort of a whatever it is,
a little seedling that could grow and then
let
the idea is
critical mass.
What is the most popular television show that had the highest percentage of Americans watching ever?
I love Lucy.
Who was the husband on that show?
Ricky Ricardo.
Is he a white middle class father knows best dad? No,
but
that
he was
had
of,
more to
but he was
do.
Sort of made into that.
But that had more to do with race. I think it had
Mr.
a lot
privilege.
To do. I think it had a lot
I'm
to do.
I'm calling you
with.
Out on white privilege. Bob Forrest has white privilege, everybody.
Ricky Ricardo.
But then we had that setback was in the 70s with All in the Family.
All in the Family. And I talked about it.
What's his name?
Archie Bunker.
They actually wrote him to be ironic and comical, like people could laugh at his ridiculous views, and it backfired, and people started agreeing with him.
No.
Absolutely. I studied
it. Well, nowadays.
I can tell you, as somebody who lived it, it's like saying, if somebody has a white supremacist BS and they find people that agree, or get some fired
up. A lot
up.
Of the country agreed. I mean, they took polls and whatnot. It was alarming. And then they started getting pressure on how to write that character because people were actually following what he was saying as truths and looking to him. And something's kind of similar is going on right now.
Yes, very similar.
Yeah.
But what's a highlight for you of all time of Lovelines?
It's so tough. Isn't that a hard one?
Biggest star. Didn't Oasis come in there one time?
My favorite guest.
Oasis?
They were no good.
They were really sweet. They were very nice.
They were
and
the
you know
Beatles
what? For British,
of that
I know,
for British bands, they were like some of the nicest we encountered. Yeah, British bands were not fun on that show.
Blur was not nice.
Blur was, they came in as the Gorillaz.
Mr. T was a highlight. You weren't around for that.
No.
That was a good one.
That was Ann's first
great
guest.
Rock
that was
and
the
roll Phyllis
band.
Diller.
Every great rock and roll band for the last
Cloris
30
Leachman.
Years has been
Cloris
in there.
Cloris Leachman gave great anal sex advice, and I was shocked.
Yes.
And it was actually really good advice.
It was yikes. And poor Nick Swartzen was also on the show. And just
that's right.
Like, oh my God.
Swartzen would tell you. She was giving good advice. Yeah, she really was. She was saying push out, which is like counterintuitive, but it makes sense. Cloris Leachman.
It was explicit. I'm not sure he needed to go there, but it was Cloris Leachman.
This has a little taste of Love Line.
What else? I can't remember all the
people. Insane Clown Posse was my favorite guest ever. They always brought it. Yeah. They were always very funny. Andy Dick was always really funny.
Did Ice Cube come in?
Ice Cube, you know what? He was on the TV show.
He came in with Eazy-E, didn't he? They did the radio show.
Eazy by himself. But as far as I remember. But Ice Cube was on the TV show.
Alec Baldwin was a highlight.
Yeah.
And here, I'll tell you this quick little story. Alec Baldwin showed up about an hour early, right? And I was in there working on setting up the show, and the doorbell rings in the old studio, Culver City. I'm like, ah, shit. So I go down and answer the door. It's Alec Baldwin and his buddy. And I'm like, oh my God, Alec, hey, no one gets here. Drew doesn't get here for another half hour. Corolla will get here in about a minute before the show starts. I'm like, you can go to, there's a bar right there. I didn't know that he was on the program at the time. Like, why don't you go hang out at the bar over there?
Yeah, you need some meth.
And he was all, Alec was all excited.
Why don't you give him some of your
meth? Wasn't on meth anymore. I quit meth before I started working with Drew. And right before I started working with Drew, actually.
Oh, you're
not
lying.
Because of Drew. I swear to God. I mean, I've done meth since I've known him, but I wasn't doing it on a regular basis. And then Alec looks at me. I'll never forget Alec. He's like, he's all excited. He's looking over my shoulder, trying to see in the building. And he says, when does Anderson get here? I'm like, holy fuck, Alec Baldwin is excited. So I'm like, I'm Anderson, come in, I'll show you what I do. And he was asking about the sound effects and all that. He's like a little kid. It was great.
That's cool.
That was really exciting.
That's a good one.
Who are the most famous people we have? We had
Alec Baldwin was on.
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. Do you remember the bus,
yeah.
Drew?
The pot bus.
Did you smoke some with him?
Dave? No, he did not.
Have you heard the thing where Snoop Dogg smoked some with him and Snoop was like paralyzed?
No, because he smoked so much.
Yeah.
Snoop was on a bunch of times.
It's Willie Nelson weed, brother.
Yeah.
Snoop was on a bunch of times with us. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'd bring his people.
Yeah.
He'd have a crew,
probably about
20 people with him. They would just overtake the entire building.
Wearing a green, driving a green Cadillac with
it was a spiritual advisor. With Don Magic Wand.
with a cane, a diamond cane.
No, the Willie Nelson tuxedo thing was great, though. Back to Willie Nelson for a second. He had his bus out there. They invited Drew, Ann, and Corolla onto the bus to meet Willie Nelson on his like mythical bus that he tours the country.
Was there weed everywhere?
Oh, just they had us sit down at the front of the bus. Remember this on the bench, and then they said, "Hold on." An assistant went to get Willie. He knocked on the door, and then he says, "I present to you Willie Nelson." He actually presented him like he was royalty. A door opens up. I'm not exaggerating. Like a plume of smoke comes out of this back room that he was in.
And that was before it was so commonly known that he was the biggest stoner. It was just not really.
It was really weird. I had no idea. Yeah. And then braided Willie Nelson comes out, and he couldn't have been nicer. And we all just sat there, and he showed us and told us a couple stories. It was great.
And you taped it?
He came on the show. He then came on the show.
He came on the show.
This is like pre-show stuff.
This is the stuff I'm talking about.
It was fun.
Well,
any stalkers come by sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
We had that one lady that used to send Drew casseroles and
cookies.
Casseroles and cookies that did not keep, especially the casseroles, and then a diary with her poop schedule, which I was really upset by.
Very sick.
And her menstruation cycle.
Well, you want to know that if you're thinking of getting involved.
Kathy was a good guest.
You need to know.
Kathy was a good guest. Oh, Kathy Griffin always.
You love Kathy. Yeah, she's good.
We had a lot. Heather Graham is a famous story with Heather Graham.
It's a great story.
We should just tell famous stories.
What did she
Heather
do?
Graham, you know, the actress. I know. She's in, what's the...
She came out for Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, Austin Powers. And she was before... And we always got everybody before. I was just thinking we had Ryan Reynolds. I thought about this morning.
I remember Ryan Reynolds,
when he was two very guys, stoic. A girl in a pizza kitchen.
Yeah.
And he could not have been a nicer guy. And I thought to myself, don't remember the girl or the guy.
He didn't do that much on the show either, though.
But I don't remember the other girl, and the other guy.
I have no idea.
I couldn't tell you who they were.
I had a girlfriend that was a costume designer on that show, though, at the time. So
Two guys, a girl in a pizza kitchen. Ryan Reynolds was starring in that.
It was a TV show?
TV show. Well, that's cool.
Two guys, a girl in a pizza place.
Yeah. And anyway, so another similar... You know, three actors, I recall, an actor and two actresses came in to talk. It was some movie about a murder in a bathtub. That's all I remember. It's about a bathtub.
Are you talking about Ryan Reynolds now or Heather?
No, now we're doing Heather Graham. Okay. And it was a movie that was going straight to DVD. It wasn't being released or anything. And Adam's sort of making talk. It's unclear if it was during the show or during a commercial break.
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah. Okay. So it might have been before
I worked on the show.
Yeah. And he sort of kicks back and he goes, hey, you're a nice looking girl. You seem very talented. What are you working on now? She goes, well, I'm kind of excited. I'm doing a new film. It's about the porn industry. Chemistry in the 70s. It stars, this is 1990, whatever, stars Burt Reynolds and Marky Mark. We're like, what? Marky Mark's brother, Burt Reynolds, what?
It sounded ungood.
Yeah, she was, and I wear roller skates the whole time, and it's about the porn industry. We're like, what? Who? Adam Lilley goes, who is your agent, for God's sake?
But if I had been there, Bob, being the film nerd that I am, I would have said, hey, this is directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, who made a movie called Hard Eight, which actually is originally called Sydney. It was called at Sydney. Wow. And that's a great movie. So she's going to be okay because Paul Thomas Anderson knows how to make a movie.
Magnolia. Is Magnolia one of the greatest movies ever?
Magnolia, I can't stand. I hate it.
I love it.
It's Tom a roller coaster. I'm thinking this is one of the greatest movies ever.
So great.
And then the next moment, I'm like, this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And then the next moment, I'm like, this is one of the greatest movies. It's a roller coaster.
Well, that about does our time, guys. Any more highlights? Before?
My favorite thing when I worked on the show was doing the sound effects and getting creative and clever with the sound effects. And I used to mess with Adam. I don't know if he ever figured it out, but a lot of the time I would, because he would get angry with some of the effects I would play, and I would fix it so that everyone could hear it except for Adam.
Oh,
that was always fun. So everyone that was listening,
I didn't know that.
Cars, I don't even know if Drew did that.
I did not know that until just now.
It was very fun.
All right, Anderson, just press
slide the
potentiometer.
Push the buttons, would you, Anderson? And then the one time with Stryker, actually, I upset him so greatly with my sound effects that he actually came around tried to punch me. In my room was when we had Lindsay Lohan on, and it was before she was kind of out, and I kept playing.
We had her on the show?
No, she called in, remember? Oh, yeah. We had her on by phone, and I kept playing. I had out of context Drew drops of Drew saying, "You're a lesbian. You're a lesbian."
Oh, my
goodness. And I kept playing them, and Stryker was giving me the look through the glass, like, if you play it one more time, I swear to God, and I couldn't help myself. I had to. For good radio.
Passion.
It was good radio.
Passion.
I played it, and he came in, and he rushed over. And Lindsay was still on the phone, and he wanted to punch me, and he punched my board instead.
Defending the virtue of Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, all right.
The great
that,
Stryker.
But then we made TMZ because of that. Not because of the drops, but because she was on the show.
All right, we got to take a break.
And she was outed.
Reminder, check out This Life Podcast, also the This Life Facebook page. Right? And the Twitter handle is at This Life Podcast. Also, Ask Bob Forrest and at Dr. Drew. Anderson Cowan at After Disaster Podcast.
Yeah, afterdisaster.com and Cinematics, Film Vault.
And thanks to
AndyCowan.com. Anderson Cowan.
Thanks to AndersonCowan.com.
Yeah.
And thanks to Andrew
and
Nate.
And the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah. Let's just
such a glorious
let's
year.
Just talk
I just
about
keep NHL
it.
Network on in the background all summer.
And at First Lady of Love for her stewardship here. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Fuck your Netflix and chill, boo. Cause baby, I just wanna know you. And fuck those bitches on your timeline too. Cause they ain't got what I could give you. Baby, I ain't tryna run no game. And I'm through fucking with these lames. They always got something to say, ayy. So if I come over, can I stay? If it's you that I choose to lay with, all you gotta do is say yes. This ain't no tricky question. I ain't got time for stressing over this lesson I'm about to teach you. I want your hands all over my body, I know we're not sober. Baby, tell me what you wanna do. Baby, tell me what you wanna do. I'm stuck here processing these thoughts of you. And if you need some extra time, that's cool. Just know that I'm gon' hold it down for you. Baby, I'm gon' hold it down for you. I'm stuck here processing these thoughts of you. Baby, I could spend my time on you. So baby, tell me what you wanna do.
Well, I'm just a man who's addicted to life. Bottles and models and women are mine. Telling the truth, girl, I'm not trying to lie. I know that you want me, I seen in your eyes. Know you so long, girl, it's always the same shit. Your man, he just ain't shit. He leave you so anxious. All of them suck, girl, that last one was dangerous.
Baby, I ain't tryna run no game. But you the type of feeling, don't say shit. So you never quite up end up as the main chick. And all I'm really tryna say is, I can make you mine if you say it. All you gotta do is say yes. This ain't no tricky question. I ain't got time for stressing over this lesson I'm about to teach you.
want your mind all over. Baby, I know you're not sober, but won't you tell me what you wanna do? Baby, tell me what you wanna do. I'm stuck here scribbling these thoughts of you, and I could spend my time on you. So baby, tell me what you wanna do.